Okay, Venerable Brother, Dhamma friends, we are going to start the Sutta teaching session. First, we'll pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Venerable Brother, Dhamma friends, so we were discussing Dvaitanupassana Sutta, which is the sutta available, one of the suttas available in Sutta Nipata. And as we discussed, this is a sutta not actually meant for beginners, but for someone who has practiced for a fair amount of time and particularly involved with vipassana practice. And there he come to a certain conclusion, okay, this is what now I have to do. So something like that. So basically Buddha asks, if someone is asking what is the aim, listening to those teachings, which are wholesome, noble, emancipating, leading to enlightenment. So what is the aim of all these? So basically, you can target on this kind of ultimate kind of a practice, kind of a goal, kind of an aim, after you certainly practice some time. So we can't say that immediately one can recognize how to practice or how to streamline one's practice according to these paths explained in this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. But once you are familiar with Vipassana, Satipatthana for a long time, then you can come to a concluding remark, okay, I am going to do this right now. So my practice has streamlined to this. Now I am going to practice Four Noble Truths. Now I am going to practice the abandonment of acquisitions. Now I am practicing to abandon ignorance. So likewise, these are the kind of concluding, summarized practices that one can come through. And that is what we are discussing in Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So the first theme is based on the Four Noble Truths, where one decides, okay, the first two truths are into the mundane side, where the suffering is generated. Second two truths are related to the supramundane side, where one is taken or leading towards the emancipation. Then the acquisitions, they are the root of suffering, the cause of suffering, the upadhi. And so one decides, okay, now I have to abandon all these acquisitions, particularly the I-making, mind-making, and the conceit, I am. So basically the identification has to be recognized thoroughly, properly, carefully, and then that identification has to be abandoned. How I am making a self, how I am making a soul, how I am making a personality, how the self-referencing process happens. So all that one needs to recognize and carefully abandon. And that's what Buddha mentioned as the kind of the noble, supreme kind of giving. That is the giving up of one's personality. Giving up of one's this personality, in the sense it is not that available personality, rather we create a personality, we prepare a personality. Out of different conditions, out of different causes, one can prepare, one can construct a self. So that construction has to be abandoned. Then we discussed about the ignorance. So whole suffering is made out of ignorance. So then one has to abandon the ignorance. And then we discuss about the volitional activities, the sankhara. Whatever suffering happens, that happens because of sankhara. And if one is able to abandon sankhara, where one is calming down all the sankharas, volitional activities, then basically one is able to abandon suffering. Then again, all suffering happens because of the consciousness, here the constructed consciousness, Abhisankhata Vijnana. So if we are able to avoid this construction of consciousness, where there is no establishment of consciousness, then that is the path to the supramundane abiding. And then we discuss about the contact causes suffering, how the contact causes suffering, the particularly the sixth sense basis, how the contact is operating there and how it creates suffering, and so one has to abandon that. And then we discuss about the feelings. Feelings as the cause for suffering, and then if one is able to recognize properly the feelings and practice accordingly, recognizing their true nature, then one is able to abandon that. Then craving as another reason, so that is actually an obvious reason, again mentioned in the Four Noble Truths. So craving as the cause of suffering, and again one needs to abandon that. Then clinging as another cause of suffering. So when mind grasps, so that creates a bhava, that creates a kind of a mental state which is sort of out of the present moment. One has grasped something, so that leaves oneself from the reality, and basically mind-made world is created. So one has become that. One has acquired something. One has sort of attached to something. One has grasped something. And that also we discuss. And how to abandon that. So how to maintain an unattached mind. So that becomes the path. Then today we are coming to another topic that is called instigation. So Bhikkhu Bodhi translated this as the Arambha Paccaya. Arambha Paccaya. So that Bhikkhu Bodhi translated as instigation, meaning that whatever we volitionally do, purposely we are trying to do something. So all that doing is creates suffering. Yankinchi dukkham sambhoti sabbang arambha paccayati ayang ekanupassana. So whatever suffering is created, it happens because of this kind of instigations. So we start something, we initiate something. So very much like we are geared to do something. So this is a kind of a human instinct. We always want to do something. We want to change the existing system. We want to change the government. We want to create a new world. We want to create a new personality. We want to create something. So always that we are geared, we are motivated to do something. We are constantly doing. Constantly we are trying to do. So this is the kind of a motivation we all have, and so that causes suffering. Actually, this is something we have to carefully analyze. So it doesn't mean that we have to stop that altogether from the beginning. So that's why we need to emphasize. So this recognition of this kind of a streamline happens only when one reaches fair understanding in the vipassana practice. So at the beginning, there is a certain amount of doing is involved. So you need certain amount of ambition. You need kind of a motivation. And based on that, you are practicing. So you are making a schedule and you want to wake up early in the morning. So you are doing your walking practice, you are doing your sitting practice. And you are reading, you are listening and participating to discussions. You are striving to abandon defilements. So very much like there's a fair amount of doing is involved. So that we need to understand. Without that, it is impossible. But on the other hand, when one fairly progress in one's practice, particularly to a level that one is able to abandon the attachments, where one's mind is now basically detached and hold nothing, from that point onwards, so this particular theory is very, very valid. So let us go through few suttas to get some insight. So in one sutta called Parivimansana Sutta, so there Buddha mentioned avijjagatoyam bhikkave purisapuggalo punyanche sankharam abhisankaroti punyapagamang hoti vinyanam apunyanche sankharam abhisankaroti apunyupagatagang hoti vinyanam anenjanche sankharam abhisankaroti anenjupagatang hoti vinyanam. So basically Buddha mentioned, so how one is doing something. So this basically covers every activity. It can be a wholesome activity, it can be an unwholesome activity, and it can be a jhana like anenja, where one is trying to attain a jhana and one tries to be there. Anenjabhisankhara. So punyabhisankhara, apunyabhisankhara and anenjabhisankhara. So basically, when one conducts punyabhisankhara, something wholesome, meritorious, then one's consciousness fares towards that meritoriousness. So that's one's consciousness is very much attached to that meritorious deed. So your consciousness has basically conditioned by that meritorious side. That means it's established there in the meritorious side, in the wholesome side. On the other hand, when one conducts apunyabhisankhara, demeritorious volitional activity, then the consciousness is establishing that demeritorious volitional activity. So it's conditioned. Consciousness is conditioned. On the other hand, when one generates an imperturbable volitional activity, like a jhana, so you attain jhana. So internally you are stuck in that jhana, consciousness is established there. So you can see either one conducts wholesome, either one conducts unwholesome, or either one is dwelling in a jhana, particularly the consciousness is conditioned. So this is something, in a way, at the beginning difficult to understand, and again we don't need to think that we have to immediately stop all our wholesome activities. That's wrong either. But after one continues one's practice for a fair amount, then only one may be able to understand this particular theory. So I was doing something, I was constantly struggling. Anyway, as a result of that striving, I was able to now reach a mental state where there is no association, where there is no any grasping. Okay, let me stop all doing. Let me stop all sankharas. Let me stop all volitional activities. So that's a concluding decision that one is taking. So then Buddha further mentioned, Yatoko bhikkave bhikkhuno avijja pahina hoti, vijja upanna. So avijja viraga vijjupada neva punyabhisankharam abhisankaroti. Now he stops all the wholesome activities even. Na apunyabhisankharam abhisankaroti. All the, unwholesome activities, so that is also stopped. Na aninjabhisankharam abhisankaroti. Even that attainments in the sense the jhana attainments, that also he stopped. So basically he doesn't want to condition his mind. He doesn't want to motivate by any kind of a conditioning, further constructions, further manipulations. He basically give up that. Now Buddha mentioned, anabhisam karanto, anabhisam chetayanto, na kinchi loke upadhyati. Now he basically give up all volitional activities and all intentional activities. As a result of that, what happens? His mind does not cling to anything in the world. He does not cling to anything in the world. So basically, so this is a kind of a very turning point in one's practice. So after reaching a fair amount of practice, so one comes to this concluding decision, okay, let me stop everything. Let me avoid any kind of a sankhara, any kind of a volitional activity now. Anupadiyan na paritasati, aparitasam pachyattam yeva parinibbayati. Now as a result of that non-clinging, now he has basically come to a state where the mind becomes still, and it is not agitated. So his mind is basically become still, silent, non-grasping, and it's an unagitated state. This is only possible when one is able to give up one's identification. One is able to give up the Sakkaya Ditti. So that is mentioned we already discussed in the Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta. Even though clinging is abandoned, sometimes if one is with strong Sakkaya Ditti, personality view, so one may not be able to maintain that non-grasping state. But slowly, slowly, when one is abandoning the identification, personality view, One is able to maintain this non-grasping state, dwell in that non-grasping state. So this one sutta where this decision is explained, how one is abandoning all this doing in this Parivimansana Sutta. And another sutta, same is highlighted, same theme is highlighted, is the Pottapada Sutta, where Buddha mentioned how one is abandoning all the sankharas or all this doing part, all the volitional activities. So now actually here you can see it is not that immediately one is taking that decision. So he is coming stage by stage. In the Pottapada Sutta, the practitioner has reached the Akinchanyayatana to come to that state. It is not he has taken the decision and the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, or even the what we call the infinite space, not in the infinite consciousness. But once, when one reaches the nothingness, there he comes to this concluding state, concluding decision. But interestingly, Pottapada asks, is this the only place that one can take that decision? And then Buddha said, no. You can take that decision at even in the first jhana, even in the second jhana, even in the third jhana. So likewise, one can come to this conclusion when one's mind is fairly stable and one has that maturity to take that decision. So if one is practicing vipassana without talking about the jhana, where one's mind particularly experience that non-grasping state, so that's a very versatile place to come to this conclusion. So here actually the practitioner understand, okay, I was practicing one and then attain another thing. So that means, for example, in this example given, yatoko pottapada bhikkhu idha sakasanyi hoti. So tato amutra anupubbena sanyaggang pusati tassa sanyaggeti tassa evang hoti. Now he has reached that concluding state by giving up one thing and attaining to another thing. Say for example, one is in the first jhana and now one doesn't want to be in the first jhana, but one wants to be in the second jhana. Now one tries to be in the second jhana. One conducts something to be in the second jhana and he give up first jhana. Next, he want to come to the third jhana and he abandons the second jhana. Now he is in the third jhana. Now he wants to give up third jhana in order to attain the fourth jhana. Now he give up third jhana and now he is in the fourth jhana. Now he wants to give up fourth jhana in order to attain the infinite space. Now he gave up fourth and now he attained the infinite space. While in the infinite space, okay, he want to come to the infinite consciousness, so he gave up infinite space. While in the infinite consciousness, he wants to come to the nothingness, so he gave up infinite consciousness, now he attains the nothingness. Now he understand what he was doing. So I was abandoning one thing, but I am attaining another thing. I am making a volitional, intentional decision, okay, I want to become something. So then I am becoming that. So this is a kind of a doing process. So this is based on the volition. Now he understand, okay, I'm going to stop this. Chete manasame papiyo, achete manasame seyo. Now he understand, so mental activity or this intentional achievement is worse for me. But if I were to stop all that intentional activity, okay, that is the best thing. Now he come to that concluding decision. That is the theme of today's sermon, today's Dvaitanupassana. So he understand, okay, doing is a mess. Doing is something creates suffering. Let me stop doing. Intentional activity is cause of suffering. Let me stop all intentional activities. Now he gives it up, and then as a result of that, so Buddha mentioned, ahancheva kopana cheteyang abhisankhareyang imachame sanya niruddhayang anyacha olanika sanya upajjaya. Now he understood, So when I am abandoning one sanya, one kind of a perception, I was attaining another kind of a perception. So what I am going to do now, yannunahang na cheva cheteyang na cha abhisankareyanti. So let me stop all volitional activities and not going to attain anything new again. So na cheva cheteti na cha abhisankaroti. Now he stopped all the volitional activities, any kind of a construction. So what's going to happen next? Tassa achetayato anabhisankaroto tacheva sanya nirujjati anyacha olatika sanya na uppajjanti. So as a result of that, what happens? He abandons the present sanya, the present perception, and he does not create a new perception. So nirodham pusati. So as a result of that, his mind sees. His mind touches the nirodha. His mind touches the cessation. So this is the concluding decision that he comes. So you can see even in the Pottapada Sutta, so Buddha very beautifully mentioned that after come to a certain state, it is not immediately. So that's why Pottapada is asking Bhante, is it the only sanyag available? Is this akinchanyayatana, the nothingness, is it the only decision-making point that is available? Then Buddha said, no, you can have many positions. First, second, third, fourth, all jhana or whatever the, even the vipassana states, all one can use for taking this concluding decision. But it's a kind of a maturing of one's mind, so one may not be able to immediately take that decision. And there are certain other suttas, like even in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. So Buddha again mentioned the same scenario where Buddha mentioned, okay, if I am going to practice further, so I am able to attain Vijnana Chayatana. But at that moment, so my mind become fairly attached to that. So that is also Sankata Metta. So it is basically a conditioned state. So one understand, okay, even though I abandon this infinite space and attaining the infinite consciousness, that also is conditioned. So if I am going to attain akinchanyayatana, that is the nothingness, by abandoning infinite consciousness, this akinchanyayatana, nothingness, also a conditioned state. So if I am going to attain neva sanya na sanyayatana, so neva sanya na sanyayatana upasanghareyam tang tadanu dhammancha chittang bhaveyam sankatametam. If I am practicing neva sanya na sanyayatana, neither perception nor non-perception, so the consciousness become fairly established there, but that is also a sankata, that is also a condition. So nevatam abhisankaroti na abhisanchetayanti bhavayava vibhavayava. Now Buddha mentioned here to Pukkusati in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. So he come to that concluding decision, okay, I am not going to do further fabrications. I am not going to do further sankhara. Nevatam abhisankaroti. He stops further fabrication, further preparations. And as a result of that, what happens? Na abhisan chetayati, and he is not making any volitional activity, bhavayava vibhavayava, in order to become something or to get rid of something. He doesn't want to have any kind of a mental activity in that level. So basically to stop all the mental activities. He doesn't want to become anything. He doesn't want to become anyone. So this is a concluding decision that he is coming. So after it happens, anabhisam karonto, anabhisam chetayanto, bhavayava vibhavayava, na kinchiloki upadhi. As a result of that, Buddha says, okay, now he give up all the grasping, all the giving, all the holdings. Nothing in the world he is now cling to. Anupadiyam na paritasati. So without any attachment, without any clinging, grasping, his mind is unagitated. Aparitassam pacchattam yaga parinibbayati. So without that grasping, without that attachment, his mind basically extinguish in the sense, attain Nibbana. So it's kind of a temporary Nibbana he is able to attain. Maybe the same, the final Nibbana also the same process according to this Sutta. So where one stops all the Chetana, where one stops all the volitional activities, all doing, but he simply decides just to be. Just be. Now actually this is a very strong part that we need to clearly understand. So otherwise we are continuously striving. There are some people who are fairly motivated with doing something. And there are a lot of energetic characters. So they are striving, really hard practice. Wake up early in the morning and doing the walking, doing the sitting, and then again maybe walking, again sitting, again listening to Dhamma, again a discussion, again walking, again sitting. So continuous striving, they are pushing themselves, exerting a lot of effort. But when are we going to come to a calmness? When are we going to come to this kind of a decision where, okay, let me rest, let me take a rest, let me allow my mind to come to that resting position, the calmness, tranquility. So that is a decision that one has to make when one reaches a certain amount of practice. So that's why please understand that this is not a beginner's part with what we are talking, but what we are talking is when one reaches this kind of a maturity in one's practice, so one has to take this decision. Otherwise you are always in the doing mode, never understanding the being mode. So in the Anapanasati Sutta, actually this is highlighted as well. Now in the Anapanasati Sutta, actually we already discussed that, probably you can refer that as well, listen to that past recording. And Anapanasati Sutta, actually the first stage is actually this doing part. Say one practices for Satipatthana using Anapanasati. There are four steps mentioned, okay, that comes under the Kayanupassana. Another four steps comes under the Vedanupassana. Another four steps comes under Chittanupassana. And another four steps comes under Dhammanupassana. So basically there are 16 steps one practices. And that 16 steps covers basically the fourth Satipatthana. So that's a kind of a doing part involved. But interestingly, in the 12th step, where Buddha mentioned, one is practicing, abandoning everything and freeing one's mind. Vimochayan chittang asasissamiti sikkhati. So that achievement of freedom is emphasized in the 12th step. Vimochayan chittang asasissamiti sikkhati. So one is practicing Anapanasati so that mind does not hold anything. Mind has nothing basically. All the thoughts are given up. All the perceptions are given up. All kind of feelings are given up. All kinds of attachments are given up. All kinds of objects are given up. So then one reaches the non-clinging state. So where mind become unassociated, anisitocha viharati, that state one is able to touch, because basically nothing is there, the emptiness is there. And after that Buddha mentioned, okay, now you are practicing this second stage. So how bodhjhangas are going to develop using, in order to attain vijja vimutti? Actually, those four Satipatthana practices have taken oneself to develop seven enlightened factors. So that is also explained in the Anapanasati Sutta. So using Kayanupassana, one can develop seven enlightened factors. Using Vedanupassana, one can develop seven enlightened factors. Using Chittanupassana, one can develop seven enlightened factors, bodhjhangas. Similarly, using Dhammanupassana, one can develop seven enlightened factors. So this is a kind of a stepwise process. One is doing that. First, establishment of, say, mindfulness, then the Dhamma Vichaya, the investigation, then one exerts effort, And as a result of that, one is able to basically have some rapture, some satisfaction, some happiness. And as a result of that, okay, the tranquility arises. And now, okay, the concentration and ultimately the upekkha. So the kind of a gradual development is there. So there you are doing that. You have to practice. You need to wake up early. You need to do the sitting. You need to do the walking. You need to do the listening. You need to do the discussion. You need to do again the walking, again the sitting, again anapanasati. So all that you need to do. So now you have developed the seven enlightenment factors to a certain extent. And there you are able to arrive, as a result of that practice, this non-grasping state of mind, anicitta state. So after that, now what you need to do, how to develop those seven enlightenment factors further in order to reach the knowledge and freedom, vijja vimutti. Katam bhavita cha bhikkave satta bojjhanga katam bahuli kata vijja vimuttim paripurenti. So how one is going to develop seven enlightenment factors so that one is able to fulfill true knowledge and deliverance. So there Buddha mentioned, sati sambojjhangam bhaveti viveka nisitam viraga nisitam vasanga parinami. So now he further develops enlightenment factors, not one after the other, rather maintaining seclusion, maintaining dispassion, maintaining cessation, and ripens in relinquishment, ripens in freedom. So you can't have the viveka in the mind when you are geared to do something. So viveka in the mind means that the mind has to rest. Mind has to become still. So stillness and doing are far away, far apart. So the mind has to be still, calm, tranquil. That's it. It's a matter of stilling the mind then. So viveka nisitang. So you are very much like dwelling in that stillness. So that dwelling in the stillness itself is further continuing your practice. It is not that we are not progressing. Because sometimes people have this major question, okay, Bhante, I am practicing, but I was practicing, but it seems like I am not practicing now. I feel that I don't want to wake up early in the morning. I don't want to do many sitting sessions. I don't want to do many walking sessions, so am I in the correct path? So we have this kind of a doubt because we were fairly motivated, but now we have come to a kind of a balance. Sometimes we can't even understand that, so therefore we are continuously striving, continuously pushing ourselves. But that is something that we need to give up. And here Buddha mentioned, okay, now you need to develop enlightened factors in a more restful way. Allow the mind to become still. Allow the mind to take a rest. So mind can't feel any kind of, agitation. So the moment that you put too much effort, mind become agitated. But here you can't have any agitation in this second level of practice. Viveka nisitam. And then viraga nisitam. Maybe all the different activities that previously you were interested, okay, you are somewhat dispassionate about it. All the objects, maybe sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and the thoughts, towards all that you have kind of a dispassion. You are not that motivated to see something. You are not that motivated to listen to something. Not motivated to smell, taste. So it's very much like you are simply dwelling, very much like you have achieved something, you have reached the goal. Like, so it is not that one already an arahant, but the path is in a way quite different. Previously we were striving, but now here we are taking a rest. We are allowing the mind to take a rest. So the restful mind is something that we need to further develop. It is not that we are trying to make the mind restless. Rather, we have to maintain a restful mind, a still mind. And whatever external become somewhat dispassionate, you are not that interested about doing this and that. Viraga nishita, nirodha nishita. So the mind has stopped basically all volitional activities. Basically has stopped. Even though maybe you are in the walking path, while the body is walking, your mind has stopped. Maybe you are doing some work, but mind has stopped. Maybe you are sitting, the mind has stopped. No thoughts, no volitional activities. And the consciousness also has ceased. Ceased in the sense not established anywhere. So typically, as we already discussed, the consciousness inclined towards something and established somewhere. But at this state, so that conditioned consciousness can't be there. The consciousness can't establish anywhere. It has to be unestablished consciousness. Appatittita vijnana. You are simply being aware, kind of a pure awareness is there, but you can't say, okay, this pure awareness is based on that. My pure awareness is focused on that. You can't say like that. Then it is wrong. So this pure awareness is a kind of pervading kind of awareness, not established anywhere. So the simple dwelling is there, kind of soft awareness is there, pure awareness is there, and mind has stopped. Because there is no coming and going, there is no any agitation. Complete stillness has to be there. Nirodha nisita. And vasagga parinamin. So that means whatever thoughts coming, you have to abandon that. Whatever perceptions coming, you have to abandon that. Whatever intentions coming, you have to abandon that. So this abandoning process ultimately takes you back to the freedom. So mind simply becomes free. Simple as that. So freedom is the ultimate. So your mind can't have anything. Simple freedom is there. Complete freedom is there. No defilements, no tension, no object, no perception, no any intention. Simple awareness. Simple as that. So this is something that actually sometimes very difficult to understand. And again, it's no point of telling this to a beginner. And this is only possible to understand when one reaches fair amount of one's practice, some mature practice, and then only one can understand, okay, this is something I need to do now, where I stop doing. I am now simply being. Just be. So just be is in a way the most difficult task we need to do. Because we are motivated to do this and that. Everybody is geared to do this and that. But later with the vipassana practice, you are coming to a concluding decision, okay, let me stop all doing. So therefore, in this part of the Dvaitanupassana Sutta, so Buddha mentioned, yankinci dukkhang sambhoti sabbang arambha pachyati ayangekanupassana. So whatever suffering originates, it's all conditioned by instigation, kind of a motivation, kind of a intentional starting of something. So with the remainderless fading away and cessation of instigation, there is no origination of suffering. You are coming to that decision, okay, I am going to stop that. Now Buddha further explained that in using verses, yankinci dukkhang sambhoti sabbang arambha paccaya arambhanang nirodhena natti dukkhasa sambhavo. Whatever suffering originates is all conditioned by instigation. With the cessation of instigation, there is no origination of suffering. Further Buddha mentioned, etamadinava nyatva dukkhaṁ ārambha paccaya sabbārambhaṁ paṭinissajja anārambhe vimuttino. So anārambhe vimuttino. Without doing anything, he simply dwells in the freedom. Having known this danger, suffering is conditioned by instigation. Having relinquished all instigation, one is liberated in non-instigation. So very, very interesting way that Buddha sort of explained that. Anarambhe vimuttino. Sabbarambhaṁ paṭinissajja anarambhe vimuttino. Ucchinna bhava tanhassa santa cittassa bhikkhuno. Vikinno jati sansaro natti tassa punabhavati. For Uchinno bhava tanhas. Now he has completely peaceful mind, santachittasa bhikkhuno, who has cut off the craving for existence. He doesn't want to become someone. He don't want to be with anything. While being alone, he is happy. In the other hand, basically, vikkhinno jati sansaro. He has finished with the wandering on the birds, wandering in birds. Natti tassa punabhavati. For him, there is no renewed existence. Because while in this world, while in this life, he has no desire to become someone or be with something. So he simply dwell in the present moment. His mind is still unattached. So this is a very, very, very interesting way how Buddha explains this Nibbana, the Arahant's mind. So it is not that you need to become an Arahant to immediately be there. Rather, while once you come to that concluding decision, okay, let me stop, let me just be. So you are now sort of going towards the Arahant's mind. So it is not that Arahant immediately become an Arahant. Rather, he is practicing in that path. So this practice ultimately will take us towards an Arahant. So the practice is explained in this sutta, where one basically stop all the volitional activities, maintain mind in the stillness, and not initiating any new activity. As a result of that, his mind become liberated. His mind become completely free. Okay, with the interesting part, and it's difficult to understand also by simple going through the summary of the sutta. So that's why I have taken several other suttas to get some insight. Okay, with that information, I like to stop today's sutta teaching session. Now, if you have any question, you can ask now. Okay, so there's a question from our side. Venerable Dhamma Vijita is here with me today. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Bhante, for bringing this sutta into understanding with the other suttas, and thanks very much.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to... this is more, I guess I'm looking for a clarification from you, Swaminansa. And when we say, if we're in the doing mode of, say, doing something, the mind, I would think the mind could be still within the state of doing if we're not clinging to a self. Mm-hmm. Like if we're doing something for the sake of
doing,
just for doing.
Yes, yeah. So assume that you are given a duty. Okay, you have to walk. You have to sweep the path.
Yes.
Okay, you have to sweep the road.
Yes.
So it's a kind of assigned task. It is not that you request one day. I want to do that. I want to be the best sweeper. I have to take a reward for my duty. There is no that kind of a motivation.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a assigned, simple, innocent task. And you are doing it happily.
Yes.
Just you are doing it. But the mind has to be still.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, you are simply doing it for the sake of doing. Mm-hmm. It is not that you are, ignoring the task either. It is not that mm-hmm. you neglected the task. You are doing wholeheartedly, doing your best.
Yeah.
But you are not expecting anything out of that. Okay, let the seniors come and praise me, or let me the best performer. There is no something like that. But you are doing it wholeheartedly, beautifully, while keeping the mind still. Not making any self out of that doing.
Yes.
You know that typically we do something to create a self.
Yes.
So that's another side actually we can discuss. Say you are writing a book. That is something, your work, your compilation. And you mm-hmm. want to highlight yourself there. So my talent, my expertise, my knowledge, all that you are now trying to emphasize, you are now trying to show off to the others by writing a book. So basically by doing, we are motivating ourselves. Yes. So is it possible for us to do something without motivating ourselves, without creating ourselves? And this is a kind of a difficult task. Yes. It is. So you can't be completely inactive either. While being in the society, you may have various things to do. So while you are doing all that, can you stop creating a self? Sometimes what happens is, before we do something, we create a self by planning how to do this, how to do that, how I'm going to be the best performer, how I'm going to win this race, how I'm going to write this book. So all that, planning can create a self. And while you are involving in the activity, that also can create a self, can create a self. So I need to do it better now. Now I've got the opportunity. Let me do that the best way. So you are, while doing also, you are, you know, kind of agitated while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you are creating a self.
Yeah.
On the other hand, after you've done that, completed the task, again, you can create a self. Oh, best. Probably they have praised me because of my best performance.
Yeah.
They have told me that you are the best performer. So I was able to do that beautifully. I could have done that much better. So likewise, mm-hmm. again, you can reflect about your past activity and create a self. So that's another way we need to understand. So all this doing can create a self.
Yes.
Mm.
And I wanted to also bring up that the Buddha obviously was not clinging to a self,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't instigating anything. He was giving his teachings to help others in the path.
Yeah.
And
again, interestingly, he basically, after understanding all that, he doesn't want even to teach. Can you remember that?
Yeah, at the beginning.
At the beginning, yes. He doesn't want even to teach because he understood it is useless. I mean, these fellows are fully involved with all these sensual activities.
Yeah.
So my teaching is talking something different. So it's a waste of time. Let me mind my own business without doing the teaching. So then the Sahampati Brahma, he come and he invited Bandhev, please don't do that. Please, there are people who can understand your teaching, so please, Bandhev, please teach. So
yes.
He made a kind of a pleading in order to, motivate Buddha to teach.
Yes.
So therefore we can understand, okay, so it is not that Buddha motivated to teach, rather he is doing that out of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And as the request came from the Brahman, that's also another point that we can think, yeah.
And the Buddha was, when the Buddha was in his teachings, he had to formulate his ideas. He had to consider the person he was asking. He had to have a high level of sophisticated understanding and ability to create teachings to solve problems in the community and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really doing something that took a lot of consideration and thought and creativity, yet still there was not a self that mm-hmm. he was. So it shows that we could do a lot of very sophisticated things and mm-hmm. still not have a self that we're clinging to.
Yeah. And on the other hand, no.
And a stillness of mind mm-hmm. as well while doing it.
While doing it. Yeah, on the other hand, now if you refer the Vinayapitaka, all this, establishment of various precepts.
Yeah.
He didn't only after an event has happened.
Yes. They had to come to him and say, Bhante, there's a problem.
Exactly.
And so he's...
Yeah. Venerable Sariputta is asking, okay, Bhante, why don't you establish various rules?
Yes.
Then Buddha refuse it. Buddha says, Venerable Sariputta, that Sariputta, I know the time.
Mm-hmm.
When the event happened.
Yes.
When once the event happened, okay, now he established a rule,
yes.
a kind of a monastic rule.
Yeah.
So therefore, we can see that when an opportunity, or rather an opportunity, when there's a request, when there's an event, when there is an action to be taken, yes, he has taken an action.
Yes.
But otherwise, he simply maintained his typical life, and sometimes he even go 3 months of rest. That is also there.
Mm.
So likewise, a beautiful way he has sort of balanced this. Not complete inactivity and not yes. complete out kind of showing off kind of thing.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes.
Okay, it seems like there are no questions from your side, Priyanka.
Yes, Bhante.
Okay, fine. Okay, if there is no questions, then we got to wind up the session. So today also we have spent almost 1 hour discussing Dhamma, taking a certain an interesting part of this Dvaitanupassana Sutta. So all this has helped us to prepare some merits. And all these merits we'll share with all the celestial beings, all past away relatives and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to understand Buddha's teaching and realize the knowledge and the freedom. With that we'll recite the traditional verses. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ettavata cham hehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mam param. Idam go nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam go nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam go nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satam samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.